Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Amy Barton.
And I'm Trace Kerr. And, you know, we thought we might try something new. It's been 5 years.
We love connecting with you all.
We were just talking about what we like doing about the podcast and how we like hearing from you guys. And so we thought, instead of leaving that to the end of the episode where you might be getting out of your car to go buy groceries, we're trying some new stuff. We're throwing it at the beginning.
Yeah.
And now you're stuck. You have to listen to it in order to hear the cool stuff after this.
Yeah. Take a moment before you head into the grocery store. Trace would find it really affirming if you mentioned when you hear me thumping on the desk and things in your review. Because we have some talks about that. So feel free to add that if you need to. Or you can mention it on Instagram. You can always message us there. We are Brain Junk Podcast, all one word. We've got reels and the best stories from stuff we've come across while scrolling.
Such good stuff.
A while back, and I looked up the episode number, a while back is like 3 years ago, four. We talked about Point Roberts. And at the time, we heard from PR Views, which is a community in Point Roberts. And they said, thanks for the mention. That was a fun episode. Thanks for showcasing our little point. And I highly recommend visiting their Instagram page, their PR_view_. They have amazing pictures of Point Roberts. So if you're reviewing that episode, which was, what did we say, Trace? Episode 79?
Oh, it was like back in 2019. How was that back in 2019? I don't even know.
And today, you can chat with us again about this one. You might have some feelings about this because today we're talking about everything you never knew you wanted to know about wombats and binturongs. I think some of you are probably thinking, wait a minute, Amy, did you already tell us everything we never knew we wanted to know about wombats and binturongs?
No, there's more.
Have you broken the bond of trust? I just need to tell you, I'm sorry, I have, but... In my defense, binturongs was sort of down the things that smell like things road, and wombats was definitely down the fecal matter road. And Trace and I discussed this off recording. I will go down a very narrow road and look right or left, never, in my research. So I looked right and left a little, got a couple messages from my family saying, hey, did you know this about wombats? I'm like, no. And so... And they're amazing things. Like, they're better than the things I have already shared with you. Ooh. So I apologize for the delay in sharing this information. Good people of the internet.
Honestly, what's better than square poop? I mean,
you're about to find out.
This is a high bar you've got to jump. So, Okay.
I'm going to leap over it. At least in my opinion, I was completely delighted by both of these chunks of information that I'm going to share with you.
Okay.
Let's do a quick review of wombats. They are about the size of a Cocker Spaniel. They live in Australia. They are burrowers. They are herbivores. They like to eat branchy, leafy things, which leads to those square poops because those are some dense things to digest. And please feel free to visit episode 34 to hear all the ins and outs of wombat fecal matter. It'll be exciting times. That is really a blast from the past because at the time this episode airs, we'll be past 250.
Whew. Yeah.
Anywho, wombats.
And they're so cute. I mean, they're like...
You made a bad rabbit out of Play-Doh and you made it the size of a dog.
A bad rabbit.
I saw a video today of a wombat that was laying on a bench because the interviewer wanted to talk about all the features of the wombat. And so it spread out on the bench and I'm like, somebody overfed that rabbit and squashed its ears down, poor bunny.
They're still so cute though.
Yeah, they don't have a little fuzzy tail. They just have a little roundy buns. So somebody said it's like you cross a guinea pig and a hamster. I could buy that as well. It's the general shape is
footstool.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And they are beefy little guys. They can weigh up to 80 pounds, but they don't look like an 80-pound thing. And that's what I want to talk to you about. There's a scientist named Alice Swinburne. She is an expert in wombat bottoms. She probably has expertise in other areas of the wombat, but that is the part that makes me most happy. She's at the University of Adelaide in Australia. Uh-huh. And the thing that I did not know or hadn't gotten around to last time we talked, that a wombat's backside is armored and it will stick that rear end out of its burrow to protect its burrow. And so like once it mobilizes and it blocks that burrow, you're not coming in. And the reason for that is it is made up of four fused plates that are surrounded by cartilage. So think the wombat's bone structure and body, then four fused plates, and then a fatty chunk, and there's cartilage around the plates, and then a fatty chunk, and then fur, and their fur is fairly thick and heavy. Like they plug the hole. It's like their natural shape was made for this. One of the interesting things that I read in multiple places is there are many, many stories about fox skulls and dingo skulls being found outside wombat burrows. And some people hypothesize that the wombats use their big rear ends to crush invading predators.
So I'm looking at a photo, and it's published in a lot of different places.
Is it the one with the little fox head next to the wombat?
Yes, it says, what is it? Mange management, treating mange in wombats. It's a Twitter post, and it almost looks like a little tree root roof, and then there's a burrow, and there's a big old wombat butt, which honestly looks like a really big coconut.
Yes.
Off to the side is this fox head, like he's just crushed his head into the, oh my God.
I know. Now, here's the thing. It's not an image that they capture often, and it's not something David Attenborough is going to show you a video of. Scientists think that what more frequently happens is that wombats have taken over and expanded the den of another animal. And so they're getting out the refuse. That's their garbage pile outside. So you can believe that wombats have that kind of energy where they're like, I will crush you to death. They have the the ability is documented. The action is not.
You know, I could see how a limb could get trapped between the butt and the wall.
Yeah. That's some real commitment, though, for the wombat, because I don't know that its sides are as heavily armored. So like it would be getting scratched up pretty bad.
Oh, that's true.
I like to think that it doesn't get to that the dingo sees the wombat there in the hole and is like, okay, cool, I'll take the other out. Thanks. Bye.
Never mind.
Okay, bye. Apparently, their heads are also very bony. Mating season is pretty intense and bitey. And because we're on the family version of the show, that's all you need to know. You have the internet. Feel free to Google what that might look like. That was one aspect. And then baby wombats. Alice, the scientist, says that one of the funniest, cutest things she's seen are juvenile wombats throwing their rumps around and doing spins and backing into things and kicking. She calls that the wombat zoomies.
They're just throwing around their giant pieces of cake. I love everything about that.
I love the idea of those little small loaves running around with their little buns.
Wombats don't skip leg day.
Right? They never do. So I feel like that's much more engaging than wombat poop.
I mean, it's just another facet of the delight that is the wombat. True. Yeah.
They are a rare and special animal.
I also think that I am one of those creatures that doesn't look as heavy as I actually am. Maybe I am a wombat.
Yes. You're just more muscular, more cartilage and bone. Shall we revisit the binturong or the bear cat?
Yes. Now, this just came out at the beginning
recent.
Of January, right? I mean, we know about the popcorn. We know they look like snaggly. I think you called them like some sort of...
They look like a child illustrated a bear and a cat together.
Yep.
But it's in real life. You'll look and you'll be like, ooh, geez, somebody just brought a kid's drawing to life. They're not... I personally don't find them super cute.
No. Yeah, they kind of, I think the thing that I find, they've got pointed face, almost kind of raccoon style, but then...
Yeah, they look like a raccoon cat.
Yeah, with this dark, dark fur, but then these white whiskers that kind of whoosh up, which gives them a very kind of Bond villain sort of...
Yeah. And these guys, for review on this also, they live in Southeast Asia, not here in Spokane. So unless you're at a zoo. They are carnivorous potentially, but more eat fruit. We're just going to go for a quick review of all things. These are a very similar size to our wombat friends, but a very different build. They have a long, long tail, which I did not talk about last time. It is prehensile. It's long and it'll wrap around the tree. So think spunky sloth that looks like a bear cat.
Yeah, because this tail is not skinny. It's a big...
No, it's wide.
Fluffy, it's like wide kind of raccoony looking tail, although no stripes. Yeah.
No. And they live in trees. They don't come down frequently. Their lifestyle, when you read some of the descriptions, sounds very similar to a sloth, except for I don't think they have the very deliberate motion patterns.
Or upside down.
No. Yeah. Not upside down. The Bitterungs tuck their little nose under their tail. If you have a dog, you've seen the dog do the really tight curl. And then their prehensile tail tucks over their little nose and wraps around the tree and tucks them in. Okay, here's my two things that I did not realize about the Bitterung when I did my first round of research. And this involves reproduction, parents. If you don't want to talk about this today, enjoy the facts we've had already and tune in another few minutes. And I'm not going to go deep into the woods here, but apparently, not apparently, this is documented. There's no gray area here. This really does happen. Females can delay the implantation of an embryo so they can have a fertilized egg that does not embed. Let's see. Let's make sure I'm using real science words. Wow. At you. The uterine wall. It does not attach to the uterine wall. So they're not truly pregnant. They're sort of just hosting a fertilized egg until conditions are favorable. And yes, other animals can do this. And I cannot believe I haven't stumbled on this. There are 100 mammal species that are capable of this delayed implantation.
Oh, wow.
So it allows them to mate when they happen to be near a male and the time is right. But then if conditions aren't favorable, like the season isn't great, they're not living in a place with abundant food, they can not have that baby yet.
You meet a hot guy in the winter and you're like, okay, but this has to wait now till spring.
Yes, exactly. Because gestation is like 90 to 92 days. That's very precise.
Wow. It's fertilized. It floats around in there like a little beach ball at a concert. And then...
And their babies are called binlets.
What?
That's cute. And they usually have twin binlets. And they're born like kitties with their eyes closed. And they cling to their mamas for their first few days. And some of them stay with their moms for a long time, even after they're independent. Like, they don't fly the nest. And my final fact. That's not all, everyone.
But wait, there's more.
Bitterungs also play an interesting role in the circle of life for the strangler fig. The strangler fig, I know it's exciting. It's not, the fig tree is not as exciting as it sounds. The thing about the strangler fig is that it cannot germinate without the assistance of very specific digestive enzymes that only two known animals have. And the Bitterung is one of those two. So the enzymes, the Bitterungs eat those figs and their digestive enzymes soften the tough outer covering on the fig seed so that it can actually dig out into the soil there. Otherwise, they have a hard covering that can't get out. That's the science words for how plants work.
Wow, that was too much. I think everyone needs to sit down.
Yes. So that really is all I know today about wombats and binturongs. I'll be really embarrassed if I have a third episode or science will have advanced.
Oh, yeah.
Are you throwing things around? You're just so flustered by my exciting news.
I was stimming with a highlighter cap and I just flicked the highlighter across my recording area.
Yes, I have the privilege of being able to fiddle with my mouse while I talk. And so I don't have to hold still.
So you just have your little arrow bippity bopping back and forth.
It also explains the taps on the table that an astute listener will hear.
That's okay. Right. It shows we're real people. We do real things.
So real.
Except poop square. I don't do that.
I don't either. Thankfully. That seems uncomfortable.
That's called having enough fiber in your diet.
Mm-hmm. With a balance of hydration.
Ah.
Something's gone sideways if you're pooping every 2 weeks and it's square.
Oh, God.
You should see your medical professional for sure.
If you find this bothersome.
So my apologies, internet, that you had to wait so long for those facts, because I found them completely delightful and was so surprised that that is not what had shown up in my social media feed. I'm like, what?
Well, that's good. I like that. I like a review. Also, I don't like that was in 2019, because that was just yesterday I edited that. I swear.
Yes. I was very surprised to see how far. Oh, and if you want to review Stinky Critters, that was the Bitterung episode. That is episode 244, which is much more recent.
It's quality Amy material. Of course it has stinky animals.
It absolutely does. Lots of them.
Well, if you would like to hear more episodes, ask your smart speaker to play Brain Junk Podcast. And wherever you listen, please like and subscribe. Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know. And I guarantee you will not be bored.